Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Sarah.
Today's cast, Join a Professional Association, Part 2 of 2.
Questions this cast answers are, why join a professional association? Which professional association should I join? And what do I do when I've joined a professional association?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Well, hello there, ambitious professional. Are you ready to supercharge your career? For nearly two decades, Manager Tools has been the secret weapon for professionals at every level, from newcomers to seasoned executives. Now we have a secret. We're on the brink of unveiling major enhancements to our website. While we can't spill the beans just yet, trust us when we say, you won't want to miss what's coming next. By becoming a Manager Tools licensee today, you're not just gaining access to our treasure trove of proven strategies and tools, you're also securing a significant benefit for yourself. Don't let this moment slip away. Join the Manager Tools community and position yourself for an even brighter future. Your career will thank you. Visit us online today at manager-tools.com/products and look for the personal license.
Sarah, last week we talked about which association to join, and now we're going to talk about what you do once you've joined. And the first thing is attend the meetings and activities.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that a lot at the end of our last recording. That is, we talked about the fact that if you're going to pay this money, you're going to invest in yourself, you want to make sure you're getting your money's worth for it. So obviously, the value of joining an association doesn't just come from signing up for an association. Our list of the benefits of joining an organization like this include many things. There's networking, professional development, career opportunities, industry updates, recognition, continuing education, access to resources, leadership opportunities, mentorship programs, discounts and other perks, collaboration opportunities, and personal growth. So there's a ton of value that can come from these associations. If you make the most of your time a member of this association.
Yeah. One of my friends says about Toastmasters, if you get everything you could get out of Toastmasters, you'll never get out of Toastmasters.
Yeah, there's constant value. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And none of those benefits come from just paying with your credit card. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You don't get buff by paying your gym membership. You have to actually go to the gym.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned last time, right, Wendy, when we talked about memberships don't go on your resume. Mm-hmm. You don't put them now unless it's a mandatory membership that you must be a part of the bar, right? Then it goes on your resume. Otherwise, it doesn't go on your resume. So again, there's no value in just becoming a member and doing nothing.
Exactly. So the value comes from attending the meetings and events and workshops. It comes from reading the publications and the journals. It comes from connecting with people, both in person and online via the forums or email or whatever access they have. It comes from following up with people and developing relationships. It comes from doing your homework and asking questions.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me of you, Wendy. Your evolution of Manager Tools.
That's true. I started on the forums asking questions and answering questions. And then one day I asked Mark a question and then he said, call me. And that was the beginning of 16 years later. Here I am.
Yeah, exactly. So again, this networking opportunity for Wendy, who is with us here today, paid off completely. I mean, you got to be active though. I mean, Wendy, how active were you on the forums?
Oh, I was posting probably every other day, like a couple of questions and answers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So investing heavily in what the association membership, it's not really an association membership, although we do have licenses, but what that has to offer. And if you invest, a la Wendy, it can pay off for you.
And I had no intention, just to be sure. I had no intention. People were asking questions and I wanted to answer them because I had some knowledge about something they were asking a question. They were asking about interviewing. And one of the things I hated most about being an interviewer, which is what I was doing at the time, was seeing people come in and being nervous about interviewing and then fluffing their interview because they were nervous when I knew they could do the job. That just hurt my heart. And I knew if I answered the questions on the forums, I could help some of those people. And that's why I did it, and not for networking. So don't go into it with the idea that you're going to get something from it. You know, do it for love.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, if you do this straight out of college, it's going to feel natural because this is exactly what you've been doing for the last 4 years, right? You've been committing to being on the forums and doing your homework and getting things done and doing your email. And you've been doing all of these things. It's just a natural progression to staying committed, just like you would in, let's call it, any other class that you were in college. Now, the longer out of school you are, the more difficult it'll be to get back into the habit of being in class again, but treat it like a class. I mean, it's just a job that you got to do. It's just a class that you're taking, and you want to stay up to speed on all of the things that are going on in your class.
So if you are going to one of these events or a meeting or a workshop or whatever it is that's happening, prepare ahead of time. So read the materials that are sent. We love people who come to our training conferences and who have read what we send ahead of time.
Or listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we work really hard to give you information ahead of time, and probably 70% of the people don't read it. So read the materials that you've been given about the event. Prepare one or two questions for the presenter. And we're not saying gotcha questions. We're not saying find some little thing that you can ask them and make them feel bad, or anything really complex that is very specific to just you and the presenter or only a few people in the audience. Find a more general, how do you see this area developing kind of question that allows the presenter to elaborate, breaks the any questions silence, you know, that silence when the presenter says, are there any questions? And there's this like awkward silence. If you can break that with a question that makes the presenter look good, you're now the presenter's favorite person in the room. It'll make you feel less awkward about asking questions if that's a problem for you. And it will make other people feel favorable towards you. So that's a really good way to make friends. Make other people look good.
Exactly. And another thing to do when it comes to these interactions with humans that are in your association is when you attend those meetings, those events, make a habit of introducing yourself to the people in attendance. Always thank the presenter. Always ask for a copy of their slides. Presenters are almost always flattered, and often members of the association themselves are giving you another contact.
And for those of you who are introverts or reserved, if you know your empty disk profile, the answer is to do this from the very first meeting you go to. Because if this is the only behavior people have ever seen from you, they will just assume that this is who you are. And then you don't need to be worried about it because this is who you are.
Yeah. We hear that a lot, actually, when we do our effective communicator. People are the concern being, well, they already know how I am. They already know I'm introverted, let's say. And if I suddenly start doing extroverted things, won't that be weird or won't that be unusual? And to be clear, folks, no, it won't. No one will notice it but you. Mm-hmm. And it's all in your head. And the fact that it's all in your head still makes it a perfectly valid concern. So to Wendy's point, start the relationship in a way that is that introverted or that extroverted way. Introducing yourself. Talking to the presenter, asking questions, those kinds of things. Taking the opportunity to make yourself stand out from the crowd is a really good thing to do. And then ultimately follow up. So use those newsletters, those updates, and those other industry news sources as a reason to keep in touch. So when we're talking about you received a newsletter, if you know someone, you've met them at a previous event who the newsletter that you're reading has a small little article about something that they do or it's in their line of work. Take that newsletter and just forward it to that person and say, hey, did you see the article on page 3? Thought you'd be interested. You might not have noticed it. And just, it gives you an opportunity, an excuse, really, to reach out, to say hi, because I found that to be tricky, right? With the networking thing. Do I just reach out of the blue? Isn't that kind of weird and awkward? It doesn't have to be. Use those newsletters to share with other people in the association to keep those connections fresh with individuals you've met.
And the nice thing about associations is often there's an email or a newsletter or whatever that's about them, like, or their chapter or their club, like, oh, so-and-so's club achieved this award, in which case you can say, congratulations, I saw your club did this, even if it's not that person. That works too. So join committees. And this is one of the secrets that you need to know. So joining committees at associations and other similar organizations is the answer to the frequently asked question, how do I get leadership experience without being in leadership? Committees are small projects in themselves, and they also run small projects. And depending on the organization and the committee, they could be quite large projects by other people's standards. And so you can lead those and get your leadership experience.
Actually, this, Wendy, reminds me of, we're interviewing somebody right now, not fresh out of college, but relatively early in their career. And when we talk about interviewing, when we talk about being good at interviews, we talk about behavioral interview questions and providing an example of things that you've done. And we always urge the interviewers, if people can't come up with an example, to say, okay, well, what about leadership of a project at school? What about leadership of a sports event or in a club that you were in? So these kinds of taking leadership in events or association projects will give you that experience, those examples, if you will, to use when you're being interviewed, so that you can say, oh, I do have leadership experience in my association, and you don't have to have gotten the job yet, and you can still use that.
Yeah, they are perfect early career examples. Mm-hmm. And these committees are rarely oversubscribed. There is rarely too many people on them, and more hands are usually welcome. All you have to do is ask, how can I help? And someone will put you to work. If there's a specific call for work you can do, you can volunteer for that role. Just bear in mind that committees are run usually by volunteers like you, and therefore the leadership and teamwork standard can vary considerably. And you may get a lot of practice with working with difficult people. It's not quite the same as working at work, where there's some norms about relationships and standards of behavior. Sometimes working in these associations and committees and things, those standards can be a lot wider. And it's really good practice for working with people that you wouldn't normally work with. So just be warned about that one.
Now, in the same vein, folks, don't worry if you yourself don't have the skills or have lower skills than you'd like in the particular area required. Part of the reason people join committees is to develop their skills. And as long as you're honest about your level of skill, it's unlikely that you'll be required to be an expert in order to join a committee at a local level. You can develop your skills as you work. You can use it to hone those skills. I'm going back to experience and resumes, and now you've got experience in leadership, you've got experience working with difficult people, and you've got experience doing the skills as well. It's a great opportunity.
And by building relationships with the people on the committee, you get a chance to know them more deeply and find out about their career path, their careers. Remember, these are people that do the job that you do. And when you're working alongside someone, you're getting the informational interviews that so often wish we could get with senior people, and they're happening organically. And you're also much more likely to meet people higher up in the association organization, people who you would be unlikely to meet otherwise. One of the people who I could call today is a former international director of Toastmasters. She just happens to be in a club that's close to mine. And when I volunteered for something, she was there. I've met her several times, and she now just says, hey, Wendy, when I walk in the room. So I wouldn't have met her otherwise, because she's at the top of the tree and I'm at the bottom. So
yeah,
just like that.
Yeah, exactly. Just by being on a committee. Now, folks, when you're on the committee, do hard work when you're there. That's how you're going to get promoted, if you will, to more senior roles on the committee and get that leadership experience we talked about. And you'll also be impressing people who have more senior roles in organizations, who know about roles before they're advertised, and who can give you references when you apply. If you're thinking to yourself, I need references for my resume, I really do. It's great to have references. To Wendy's point, she's got an outstanding reference. Toastmasters reference, that will work in any organization she ever goes to. Please don't go anywhere. But also, it's a great reference to have. It's a great connection to have. It's a great relationship to have. So, yeah.
And it's one way to make networking less cringy, if you worry about networking being cringy, because you've got a shared goal on the committee. You're trying to make something happen together. And so you're doing networking without making it about you and what you want. You're making it about what the organization needs and what you're trying to achieve together. And it's more compelling. The person will think better of you and it's less awkward.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. Are you looking for continuing education credits for your folks? Well, if you are, good news. All Manager Tools trainings afford some type of PMI credit in an effort to help you collect all the PDUs you need for your annual certification. If you want more information, contact Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. Whether you've got a single person to train or a group that needs to be trained, we have you covered, and Maggie can help you choose the right option. Now, additionally, folks, we would urge you to take professional opportunities. Now, professional organizations exist, among other reasons, to deliver professional development to their members. Free and low-cost education can range from professionally shot video courses to Zoom webinars from someone's home. Now, you should know, the production value or delivery method doesn't necessarily determine the content's worth. Neither does whether or not you get a certificate at the end. The education is education, so take advantage of it.
And even if there are no free courses, read the newsletters and the blogs and the white paper or whatever publications the association is putting out, because these often contain information about industry trends and best practices and regulatory changes and innovative approaches being used by others. And as Sarah said earlier, information from those publications can be excellent reasons for keeping in touch with other members and other people in your network who are not members of the association.
Mm-hmm, exactly. You might also see other opportunities in the publications, for example, opportunities to take part in research, advocacy, or special interest groups, which are being set up and which you can take part in as well.
Or jobs, I just realized, is not in that paragraph. Like, if you want a career change or a new job, that's a really good place to look. A lot of the bigger associations have job boards as well.
Oh, love that.
If there are opportunities to speak or write for the organization, you can take those too. Like the committees, these opportunities are often undersubscribed, and if you volunteer, you will be welcomed. This gives you practice in presentation and writing skills outside of your current environment, in a different style and on a topic that you're confident about, which is a good thing. Like, it's a topic that you feel good about, but it's a different audience. And so you've got one thing that you feel okay about and one thing that you don't. So it's good practice for you. And it's a great way to grow those skills.
And who doesn't need more practice presenting? Really, just such a great opportunity to get more practice presenting. I know we talk about this often when we're doing conferences. Our conferences aren't related to presenting at all. But we talk about the fact that when you're trying to become a better presenter in an organization, or you want to hone those skills, if all you're doing is looking for opportunities within your organization or team, and you're not a manager, for example, it can be tricky to find those opportunities. They're not just hanging on trees. The managers are giving presentations and they're not the need for many presentations. So this is just a great opportunity to do something that you might not have an opportunity to practice otherwise.
And again, the presentations within an association vary in quality. So if, and I'm not saying you will, but if you make a really bad presentation, it actually doesn't matter because You know, it wasn't at work where you get paid for it and people judge you. You know, we always say Toastmasters is where you go to practice. So if we do something really badly, we were just practicing.
Yeah. I mean, if you're afraid of public speaking, no, mm-hmm. you're like everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone is a slight exaggeration, but 77% of the adult population is afraid of public speaking. So you being less than perfect at it, you'll not be the outlier, I guess is what I'm saying. You won't be an outlier.
Absolutely. So professional associations, whatever they call themselves in your profession, are excellent opportunities for you to get more education about the area that you work in, to network, to meet people, to grow your skills in all sorts of ways. And they are relatively cheap compared with the value you can get from them over the lifetime of your career. So we encourage you to do the research, find out what you can get for your money in your area. And when you've decided to sign up, make sure you get all of that value and take all of the advantage that you can.
Yes, exactly. Take those opportunities. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Sarah.
That's all for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We will join you again next week with a brand new topic.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.